and welcome to the Phipps Faith Family Freedom Broadcast. Today's program is, as we usually strive to do, is going to promote the faith of our fathers, the family as the nuclear unit, and also the freedoms that we enjoy. You know, every year we take time out in most communities and we celebrate Independence Day, and that's altogether right and proper. John Adams encouraged us to make it a very festive event with a lot of noise and appreciation. You know, these men gave so much, and they didn't want what they had done to ever die out. And so it's incumbent upon me and you to keep that spirit of freedom alive. Somebody said that the tree of liberty is watered many times with the blood of patriots. Well, whatever we think about that, we do know that the cost of freedom is not free. Men have literally, and women have died that we could have these rights, that we could live in a country where we do not have to worry about people maybe coming into our homes that are not wanted there. Somebody said, when people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is democracy. We have a great program for you today. Let's enjoy it together. I want to preach this a little bit tonight on some comparisons between the created world and the eternal world. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and I'll read three verses. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be at our best for you. In Jesus' name and amen. You know, I have been encountering some things lately. I don't know. I use Facebook because I try to use it for ministry. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I try to advertise meetings or try to encourage folks or give a little bit of biblical truth wherever I can share it. I'm not recommending it. I'm just simply saying I'm doing that. I don't know how effective it is. But I'm running into a lot of people today. A lady, I don't even know her, told me yesterday they were arguing or advocating drag queen reading. And I got in the midst of that. And they said, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I said, no, I refuse to do that. I said, I believe what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it's right, it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. Somebody said, was there any homosexuality back in the old Bible? I said, there was plenty of it. I said, God destroyed two cities over it.
Right.
So we're living in a day and time when people basically, in this very first verse here, this is the foundational verse for your entire Bible. If this first verse is wrong, then you might as well not have a Bible. The Bible said, in the beginning, God. It didn't say a force. It didn't say that something just out of a sporadic atomic type explosion. It said, in the beginning, God.
Right.
Now, I don't know where God has a beginning. He's eternal. But in, look at verse 4 here. It says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness.
Right.
Here we have the division of light and darkness. In the eternal world, there will be no night.
Right.
Ms. Shirlene and I went out to see Miss Ruby this afternoon, and people talk about sundowners or sun-timers or night-timers, maybe it is. I think maybe older people, especially if they get very sick, seem like things deteriorate at night. Seem like they get worse sometimes. Maybe they're not quite as cogent. Maybe their mind's not quite as clear. There's something about the night. You remember in the ninth plague, there was darkness over Egypt that could be felt. But the children of Israel had light in their tents. I'm glad tonight that God is light. In Him is no darkness. In verse number 10 of chapter 1, we see the division of land and sea. Verse 1, verse 10, the Bible said, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas. And God saw that it was good." I've got news for you.
Yes.
In the eternal world, there'll be no more sea. No more sea. There's no need of it. I think in the eternal world, if we want to be somewhere, if we just think it, I believe we can be there. God manifested Himself when He stepped there, when Christ as God in the flesh came there where in the upper room, walked right through there and made His appearance. We'll not be limited by time nor distance in the new place that we're going to.
Right.
Notice it said here in verse 16, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Well, in Revelation 21 and 23, it said there'll be no need of the sun or moon.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
In my heart that will never depart. Wonderful love coming down from above, and it knows all the world to me. It frees from my sins, gives me peace with all.
I can't explain.
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
Andrew Phipps has been part of the WHMB television family for decades now. And as the general manager of the station for the past 28 years, I've had the chance to get to know Andrew quite well. Needless to say, I was very excited when I heard Andrew had written a new book titled It's Always a Struggle, But. This new book sums up Andrew's life story written in a way that only Andrew can tell. From early survival and great loss to eventual success and many aspects of his life, Andrew Phipps, an award-winning educator, speaker, and broadcaster, takes readers on a personal journey. This journey shows how a second chance, along with unwavering faith and hard work, changed the course of his life and can change yours. Each page in Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, brings valuable life lessons, homespun humor, inspiration, Christian principles, and a reminder to never lose sight of the transformational power of God in our daily lives. The book will remind you to be grateful for all things and to see the hand of God in all opportunities that surround us in every season of life. Remember, It's Always a Struggle, But, by Andrew Phipps.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle, But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
I'm always excited when we honor men of God and those that have contributed significantly to our spiritual enrichment. And it was wonderful that I was able to see the unveiling of the statue there in the rotunda of the Capitol for the late Billy Graham. And I think Billy Graham, no doubt, was one of the great evangelists of the 20th century and made an impact. And many people, you know, we could always find something somewhere maybe to criticize. But when the statue there that has John 3:16, which, by the way, is my favorite verse, I like it when it says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm glad that one day at an old-fashioned altar, I took my place as a sinner, and to the best of my ability, I asked the Lord to forgive me my sins. I trusted Christ. I'm glad that the Lord gave me that measure of faith, and we were begotten by the Word, convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I believed upon him, his death, his burial, and resurrection. And I think the simplicity of the gospel should never be put in a position where it's on the upper shelves. It ought to be always given, and it should always be articulated in a way that any viewer, any listener could know beyond a shadow of a doubt what we're talking about. Salvation is totally in Christ. He convicts, he converts, and if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm glad that when we get saved, we get a new nature. We get not only a new nature, we get a new heavenly father. We get a new family. We're birthed into the family of God. I'm glad that I'm in the body of Christ, and that we also have a new future. You know, Job asks that central question. I believe it's in Job 14. If a man die, shall he live again? And then Christ answered it. Well, Job answered it, and then the Lord answered it in the affirmative. Job said, though my reins be consumed within me, yet in my flesh I shall see God for myself and not another. I'm glad today for the hope that we have in Christ.
Our family is honored that our earthly father will be here in this capital, pointing to future generations to our heavenly father.
Today, North Carolina gives the nation a symbol representing one of our dearest treasures, the Reverend Billy Graham.
And it's North Carolina's honor to be able to call him our native son.
And it is altogether fitting that he should take his place among the greatest Americans here in the Statuary Hall.
Literally, millions of people will walk by and read John 14:6 right there. And then they'll walk around the other side and see John 3:16. And they're going to see him pointing right there to the open book.
But seeing this statue here every day will encourage us to strive to be more like Reverend Graham and like Christ.
Not that Reverend Graham was perfect. He would have been the first to tell us that. But he believed, as many of us do, that there is redemption. And he gave his life to delivering that message.
So as we honor his memory in the U.S. Capitol today, let us never forget the Bible that he preached, the souls that were saved, and the lives that were transformed.
Trouble finding King James scripture items? Has your local Christian bookstore closed down like ours has? Do you have trouble finding things for events at church or personal items for at home? Well, this is the reason I created Kinsman & Company. It is a totally King James scripture product store. And today I'm glad to announce that we now have scripture cards. These have King James scripture on them. They're blank on the inside, and they have beautiful scriptures on the outside. And so these right here, these are the Woodland Friends. And they all have encouraging scripture that you could send to your friends and family with a little note inside to say how much you care. I also have, besides the Woodland Friends, I have this beautiful garden collection. They come in a nice box. There's 12 in here, 4 designs, and you get 3 of each design with white envelopes. And then also, I have the lemon and lavender, which is so beautiful, that comes the same way. So anyway, if you're looking for a card that has King James scripture on it, please go to my website. It's Kinsman, as in the Kinsman Redeemer, Kinsman, and company.shop. And you can shop there and you can find summer sales right now. Thank you.
For all who have stood in harm's way and the defense of our great country, this is for you. May it speak to each one. I was driving alone out in the country one day, when I spotted an old frame house with shingles on top, and something about it just made me want to stop. I pulled my car to the side of the road near a field that had just been freshly hoed, and I walked over to the man and hastened to say, "I don't mean to intrude," but he said, "Howdy, friend. Won't you sit a spell? The Lord sent you here because I've got a story to tell. You see, my wife died about 2 years ago when my boy and I built this little frame house. We battled the wind, the rain, and the snow. Life was hard, but God was good. And after supper, we'd take down the Bible and we'd read and pray, and we managed to get along somehow, some way, that is, until the postman came with that letter that day. You see, my son had to go and answer his country's call. And I can just see him standing there now, so straight and tall. He said, "Dad, I want to thank you now for teaching me how to pray. And I'll go and do my best to defend a way of life for folks like you and me and the common man." Well, life was lonely, but God was still good. And every once in a while, I'd get a letter telling me that he were lonely and wishing that he were home. But, sir, my life went to pieces, and I couldn't even pray when I got that wire that said, "Your son was killed in action today." And I said, "God, it doesn't seem fair now to take my only boy. Life's been so hard, this doesn't seem to be my share." But one night, my brother, while praying by my bedside, it was as if my boy appeared to me in a vision with his hand right there on my knee. He said, "Dad, you disappoint me now. Why, if your faith in God and country wane now, I died in vain. Why, through the heat of the battle, I could feel your prayers. I knew that you were lonely and wishing that I were home. But, Dad, you must remember, you weren't the first to give your only son." And somehow, my brother, the clouds parted back, and God came right back into view. And that's why you were sent here today, so I could tell my story, too. And as I left that little frame house that day, I prayed, "Please, God, help us to understand that the hope of America lies in our faith in God and the common man." God created us in his image. If we're not created in the image of God, we have no place here. The people that have gotten too many degrees behind their names are trying to advocate and basically tell our young kids today that we're just here, that somehow we're here, make up your own mind as to what you want to believe, do as you please. There is a casualness that's engulfed us as a society. In other words, we see it in church attendance. Church attendance. Most congregants do not want to commit to more than one service per week, and then don't hold me too long. And farther to the back, or farther away from the church, we want to be. It seems to me that the foundation here is that God created us. If we are created by God, we have a responsibility to him. This Bible today is not some man's attempt to write something fictionalized. This, you can take, this is the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ made in Holy Scripture. Every verse throughout this Bible ultimately points to Jesus Christ. This is why we have a book. We don't read from Heather Has Two Mommies. We read the precious Word of God. And that's what our children today, and it's so sad. The good message we heard today from the pastor about our responsibilities. I told, maybe it'll be our next governor yesterday and the lieutenant governor. I said, "I've got 5 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. And I want to leave a legacy to them. I want to do something." The easiest thing in the world is to do nothing. Not to have anything, not to be anything, and not to want to be anything. I refuse to be that. I just as soon go on tonight as I have nothing that I want to do. I'm here to tell you tonight that as long as I live, I've got a passion. I want to make a difference. There's some people looking at me. I had breakfast. I was telling Toddy yesterday with one of are family members, and I hadn't seen him for a while. But I told him when he left, I said, I want you to remember one thing, that I love you. And God, today I was walking the hall, and a man came to me, and he said, asked me if I, by my name. And we talked just briefly. He used to be a postal clerk. He said, I've got a dad. I said, why are you out there? He said, he's got a heart attack. And he said, he's not saved. I said, would you like for me to talk to him? He said, I don't know if he will receive you or not. He said, my mother is saved. But he said, he would get aggravated if he thought I'd sent you. I said, you don't have to do that for me. But I said, I'll go if you would think it would be possible. I went in to see this man, and I could tell he's very sick. He's had a heart attack. He looks horrible. And his wife, of course, with my hearing, it's not as good as I might like it to be. But the only thing I said to this man, I called him by his last name. I said, my friend, if you don't feel, you know, if you're not able to my visit, I wouldn't want to hurt you in any way. But I said, let me just tell you something. I said, you need, if you're not ready, you need to trust Christ. You need to take him by faith. I said, listen, whether you think of this place or that place, there's one thing for sure. You can't stay here. I said, we're all leaving out one of these days. I said, boy, I sure wouldn't want anything to happen. I said, we don't have the promise of another day. And I said, would you like to further a conversation? He said, well, I don't know if I'm ready. And I said, well, I sure hope you get ready. But I told his wife, I said, if I can come back, I will. I'll go again. My point is today, there are false souls that are perishing, going out into eternity. There ought to be some compassion in us to tell the good story that Jesus saved, that he died, was buried, and is risen again. Hallelujah. So, you know, we see here that man in the first chapter here, Brother Ron, is in a prepared garden. But in the new revelation, Brother Kenneth, we're in a prepared city. That ought to make us get happy about it. I'm going to a city that John saw coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. So we're trying to reach as many people. We're thankful to the Lord for his blessings and for his helping us to maybe to help you. We want to help each other. And nobody knows it all that is humanly speaking except the Lord. And so we have to try to do what we can do under these restrictions. We realize that our knowledge can be limited, but we have to be vigilant. We have to be sober. The Bible tells us, for our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The attacks that we see weekly, we see things today that we would have never imagined just a few years ago. We would have had no trouble identifying neuter or but today, you know, we see a different attitude. Men back in the early 40s faked their age so they could get into the military. Today, we have people faking their gender so they can get into women's sports. And my thought is that if we're going to just allow everybody to participate together, then let's take the title off. Let's not call it women's sports. Well, you see the absurdity, the abnormalcy. You know, when we have a president that most people would consider very incompetent, you know, if he has dementia, But it's good that he can operate as good as he can with dementia. But if he has not dementia, then something is very much awry that we would see the erratic behavior. People seeing and noticing that he doesn't seem to know where he is, doesn't seem to know what to say, doesn't seem to know how to react. Strange behavior. We should pray. We are always to pray for the authority. Pray for those that are in places of authority, the rulers that have rule over us. It doesn't say that we pray if we approve of their policies or their leadership, but we certainly need a change in America. We need somebody that will respect Christian values, that will respect the God of heaven, that will know that in ourselves we need help. And every good leader, whether it was Franklin Roosevelt when he prayed a prayer on D-Day, June the 6th, 1944, I think it consisted of maybe 6 minutes, and the major radio stations all over the country carried it. And he asked that we pray, for these men who represented fathers and sons and husbands and relatives. They were going into situations that they realized would be imminent death for so many. We lost 4,400 people plus on that D-Day, or they call it Operation Overlord. And so today we can't allow those people, their efforts to fall to the wayside. We have to contend for the faith. That's why if you ever felt it would be advantageous, I'd like to come into your area. We try to speak as much as we can around the nation. We're always looking for new opportunities. But now I think we have something that you're going to really enjoy. We always like to have a good song, so let's enjoy it with us.
So many times you made the trip with empty water pots and left without enough to fill the smallest one you brought. But meet the whale that never dies, he'll wash away your stain. The only one that satisfies in Jesus is his name.
Come to the
well of living water, flowing from on high.
Yes,
don't wait till it gets hotter. Tell your thirst goodbye.
Come
to the like that woman when he told her all about her sin. When you drink this water, you will never thirst again. Come to the well of living water.
Come to the well,
flowing from on high. The well to it is hotter, take a thirst and find.
From that well,
come to the well, come to the
If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen.
In his new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, my dear friend Andrew Phipps delivers his life story straight from the heart, with a fascinating journey of faith, hope, and inspiration, even during the hard times. Andrew shares great stories from some of life's hardest lessons. Adding his own personal homespun humor and God-given wisdom, he encourages us to live life with a servant's heart. It's a great read that will have you inspired and give you an understanding of Andrew's journey as he shares personal stories of his family, his Christian faith, his great love of country, and how the transforming power of God changed the course of his life. It's often said that life gives the test first and the lesson later. Andrew makes an honest effort to help us by sharing his life experiences with humbleness, sincere candor, and his faith in God. We all have been there, those days when life is a struggle. I hope you will enjoy Andrew Phipps' new book, It's Always a Struggle But. I highly recommend it.
To place your order for It's Always a Struggle But, simply visit Andrew's website at phippsfaithfamilyfreedom.org. Order your copy today.
And friends, we do have a website, Phipps Faith Family Freedom. If you'd like to order our book, It's Always a Struggle But, that would be wonderful. And that will also help us. And in turn, we'll send you our book. And maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Secondly, I'm a member of Liberty Baptist Church, 9601 South Cowan Road in Muncie, Indiana. And it would be a joy. What an honor for me to come into your place where you worship. And we're an old-fashioned type church, and we certainly don't want to make apologies for that. We're proud of it. We're proud of the fact that maybe we can worship God as many of our forefathers are, my dad, my mother, and people like that. We're trying to contend for that style of worship. And you know, when we take a look at what we see developing, you know, I don't know anything about this artificial intelligence, but I'm afraid that we're going to see things that change diametrically the pendulum for the coming years. I think things that we may now observe in our culture may be obsolete or annihilated. I think some of the things that we've never experienced will come into our being. You know, back in early 1900s, maybe many people never got out of the community where they lived. Some had never ridden in a car. Some didn't know anything about modern conveniences, air conditioning, obviously, and radio and entertainment, having facilities within our homes and having good homes where we could be pretty well insulated from the extreme cold and so on. Life was pretty primitive, I suspect, around the early 1900s. You could get a Ford car maybe for $460 up to $600. A sack of flour, I was told, was a 5-pound sack, was 43 cents. Miners would work somewhere for the $1 a day wages. People farmed and they worked on farms. Some would get 50 cents, some would get a dollar. A lot of people never had some of the conveniences we have, but our hope today is not in the material things, it's in the spiritual and in the Lord. And that's why we're here, and we're hoping that you'll stay with us and enjoy the remainder.
Somebody said that during the Chicago fire, Moody, you know, was preaching. There's a famous story. He was preaching on the topic, what then will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? But he told the people, I'm not giving an invitation tonight, come back tomorrow night and make your decision. Well, there was no tomorrow night because that was the night of the great Chicago fire. D.L. Moody said he'll always press people to believe immediately and not take the future for granted.
The hardest thing that I've ever done in my life was to sit in a hospital room and watch my son die. And watch my wife watch her son die. Watch my other two children watch their brother die. And there was nothing I could do. And I would have done anything. Couldn't do anything. And as painful as that was for me, and as difficult as it still is, I've never experienced anything that has made me more aware of the love of God. What does that even mean? Because I watched my son die and couldn't do anything. God watched his son die for me and for you. And he could have stopped it. But he loved us so much that he didn't. And you think when he did that, he's going to accept your religious activity? There's no universe. There's no universe. If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Become students of truth. That's my admonition today.
My father's 97 years old, and he just does a fantastic job still, preaching and speaking and singing with me. And that's the thrill of my heart when we get to sing together.
We are glad to be here tonight with all these nice singers. I've been hearing Eva May now for 70 years. And she was 7 years old then. And then I came to have Eva May sing one song, if I can make it. The Lord's been good to us. And let us live for 96 years. And if I can make it 3.5 more years, I'll be 100. And that's God's goodness. As many times as I've been sick, in these 75 years that I've been in the ministry, the Lord's healed me. As many times as I've been sick, that many times I've been healed. So God is good. Amen. I love him tonight with all my heart. Amen. I have the honor of speaking to the Businessmen's Club next month. So I haven't stopped yet. I'm still preaching once or twice a month. I mean, well, sort of teaching-like. I take it kind of easy. And if I sing this song, it'll be because the Lord helps me to do it.
Amen. Love runs in glory are waiting for me just inside the gate. Some golden morning their faces I'll see. Inside the gate, angels and loved ones are looking this way, hoping to greet us some wonderful day. When we move over to heaven to stay, it's just inside the gate, it's just inside the home beautiful gate, where dearest of friends for me anxiously wait with a inside the gate. So who the cages is great. grace we'll proclaim. Just inside the gate, we shall rejoice while the ages shall roll, joining with angels his name to extol. There in that beautiful home of the soul, inside.
Just inside
the gate,
inside.
He was very personable. However, I sensed that he was very shy, frankly, as I was. I rather thought that we were alike in that respect. We were very different in many ways. But he had a very great sense of privacy. I think that's one of the reasons perhaps we hit it off rather well. I remember one night, for example, that Eunice Kennedy, his older sister, who was not married then, had a dinner at her house where he was there and I was there. And a few of the other young members of Congress. And we talked far, far into the night, not incidentally, about domestic issues where we would totally disagree, in many cases, like on Taft-Hartley, but about foreign policy where Kennedy and I saw the world pretty much alike. He was anti-communist, I was anti-communist. He was for foreign aid under proper circumstances, I was. He was for reciprocal trade, and I was. We had a lot of things in common.
And friends, you know, when we study the political landscape, we see people that sometimes we would think didn't have much in common, like maybe Richard Nixon and John Kennedy. But in reading, and then when I went to Washington on several occasions, I often ate there where President Kennedy wrote his speech about Ask Not What Your Country Can Do For You. But also, there is a place there where Harry Truman came. There's a place where Richard Nixon came. And, you know, many times we all have our foibles. We all have our weaknesses. We have the character flaws, some people call it. But one thing even about Richard Nixon I always admired was I think he had a good command of foreign policy. And he seemed to be able to see within inside the tent, within inside the parameters. And even today, we have to realize that when we're dealing with countries like China, North Korea, Russia, Putin, and others, we're dealing with people that are brutal, that have no regard for life and Christian values.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
We now are to the point in time where it seems like that truth is so elusive to people. They don't know what to believe. They don't know what to believe in their own churches, because a lot of churches no longer teach any doctrine. You just believe whatever you want to believe, and if the facilities meet your needs, that's where you go to church. You know, you could believe that up is down. But if they have a nice facility or something for senior citizens, that's how we make decisions. How unfortunate that we would embrace doctrine that is not compatible and does not measure up to the Bible standards. If the doctrine is wrong, the details don't matter. But seemingly, we have a level of comprehension in most places that where we're about an inch deep and a mile wide. Hardly anybody today is able to defend why they believe what they believe about the Bible. They simply say, well, we go to a church and that says you come as you are, and most of them leave as they were. Somebody said, well, we don't have a dress standard. I said, well, then it won't matter to you if I wear a suit. What they were trying to say, we want you to come to our level. Nowhere can you find in any of the writings of the Apostle Paul that he gave such instructions. His letters were always to churches, with the exception of like Timothy or Philemon or Titus. We also believe that in America, that we believe that our government ought to be based upon people that can lead. And friends, you and I have not only a great responsibility, but we have a great opportunity to speak truth to error. And this is what we want to do. This is our goal, our thesis here on Phipps Faith, Family, Freedom. We want to bring clarity. Some call it lucidity to topics of concern, and I don't think there could be greater topics than our faith, our family, and our freedoms. And each one seemingly is under attack in the current contemporary society. The family as a basic nuclear unit, the Christ that we worship, that many of us do, and the church that he is building, and not only that, but the system of economics, the capitalistic system that many people are trying to replace with some kind of a command economy, where the government tries to say we know best of how many goods and services we need. We need to set the regulations, how much we can pay people to work, or what the wage ought to be for any kind of employment. In other words, when the government gets involved, I believe it was Ronald Reagan who also said that some of the most scary words anybody can hear are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I have a very skepticism when it comes to bureaucrats and people in authority making decisions about our home. When I was growing up, it didn't take a village to raise a child. It took a parent, two parents, a mother, a dad, and they were the authoritative figures in the home. They set the rules, the parameters, and the expectation for the children was that they become good people, good children grow up into adolescence and then adulthood and become productive and contributing people. And most importantly, they wanted their children to know the joy of the Lord, to become Christians, to get saved. And moms and dads would go to churches and they would request prayers for their children. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I still yearn for those days when we can have a revival in our churches, in our community, a spiritual awakening in our nation. We need it so desperately. And this is what our Faith, Family, and Freedom programs are all about. We have a website. You can go to it. But we're going to do our best to continue to come into your area. But until that time, this is Andrew Phipps.